the 7,000 Jews that were under papal protection, because he needed those 7,000. They were his Jews. The other ones, you know, are expendable. So you have an ambivalent official position of the church. The church always felt that forcible conversion was acceptable. And you have to see it from the church's point of view. The church's point of view was that the only way to obtain salvation is to profess belief in Christianity. It's the only way to have salvation. There is no other way. So it's like if you go to a doctor, if someone goes to a doctor and the doctor wants to cure the person, and the person doesn't want it. So we understand that if the person is not in his right mind, or is a minor, or whatever it is, you force the person to undergo the treatment of the doctor so that the person will be saved. We do that with our children all the time, right? You take a two-year-old infant or one-year-old infant to the doctor for a shot. The child does not want the shot. But the parent holds the child down and the doctor sticks him, because that's for the ultimate good of the child. So the church said the same thing here. The only way you're going to save this soul is to convert him to Christianity. He doesn't want to, so hold his head underwater until he wants to. And that idea allowed the church to participate in a great many forcible conversions, thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps even hundreds of thousands. And we cannot judge people. How do people behave when the sword is put to one's throat? How do people behave after hours of unspeakable torture? So there were literally thousands of Jews who converted during the Crusades. But when the First Crusade ended and things calmed down a little, almost all of them reverted back to Judaism. And then they received the permission from Henry, the Roman Catholic, the Holy Roman Emperor, who in the century after the Crusades granted permission for all Jews who wanted to return to Judaism to be able to do so, even though the Pope refused to give that permission. The Pope opposed it, but the King granted the permission. And this reconversion back to Judaism, so here you have a problem within the Jewish community itself, as you can well imagine. Here were people who, let's say, who survived, but whose relatives were killed, or who may have killed their own relatives in order to stop them from being converted. And here comes Yankel, who converted, and now he comes back and he wants to come to shul and he wants to get an aliyah, and he says, "I'm sorry." So we can understand that there was an emotional reaction to say, you know, "I'm sorry, buddy, you know, too late now to be sorry. Out." But throughout rabbinic literature, and this is the first example of it, the literature of the Crusades, which we see in the Mordechai and in other great men of the time, the attitude of the rabbis was always to take them back. We'll see that concerning the Jews that converted and during the expulsion from Spain. On all of these tragedies, the attitude was to forgive and take them back. And we find an interesting thing. There are many who say, if you'll see in the works and the writings of the Baalei Tosfos, in the 12th and 13th centuries, there are an inordinate number of converts mentioned. Rabbi Avraham Ager, Rabbeinu Yeruchim Ager, they were gearing to Judaism. So there are many scholars who say it's unlikely that there were converts to Judaism at such a time, non-Jewish converts. And they were unlikely that these converts